Good evening. You know, a lot of those songs that we sang tonight, some of those words are just so powerful. Those authors captured so much of what this night is about what we remember. And we are remembering what Jesus did on the cross for us. And I'm going to try to bring some of that out as well. But we're going to start the night before on not just Good Friday, but on a pretty awful Thursday. And that's where I'm going to start with this message tonight. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36 here. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples to sit here while I go over and pray. Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which would be John and James, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. And I want to remember us to concentrate on some of these words. Sorrowful, deeply troubled to the point of death. He said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me. Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And what I want to kind of talk about tonight is the cup. What was this cup that he had to drink? Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, So couldn't you stay awake with me one more hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping because they could not keep their eyes open. And after their third time leaving them, he went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. And in Luke, he adds in his gospel, in chapter 22, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like the drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus is in anguish. He is troubled, he is sorrowful, and he is overwhelmed to the point of death. And why is this? The Romans had used crucifixion as their way of executing people, amongst other ways, but they'd used that, and they'd crucified thousands and thousands of people. And Jesus was going to be crucified. And I think that as horrible of that is, as that is, as a way to go to death, what was Jesus really troubled about? Yes, he's troubled about going to have to be nailed to a cross. But he was troubled because he's going to have to face God's wrath. And so what I want to do, I want to talk a little bit about this cup that Jesus had to drink from. It was filled to the brim with the wrath of God. And this cup was meant for us. It was meant for each and every one of us. And it is still meant, unfortunately, for those who never do come to the Lord. The wrath that Jesus had to face is the wrath of God that will have to be faced by those who never come to him. Jesus paid that price for millions and billions of sinners. So I'm thinking that that cup was pretty full of wrath. It was pretty full of wrath just for my life, let alone, and Gary's. I mean, you've heard about Gary, so. Tonight I want to read some of the Bible verses that deal with the symbol of the cup and with the wrath of God. And these verses are not some of the more popular verses in Scripture, but my purpose is, you know, twofold, to show the sacrifice that Jesus made to us, and it also affirms what great love he had to have for us in order to go through with this. I mean, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane struggling that if there's some other way to do it, to do it. Because from the beginnings of time, long before any of us were ever thought of or this world was conceived, this plan was put together by the Father, by the Son, by the Spirit, that this would have to happen, that he would have to die for our sins. This wasn't just something that was cooked up recently. It was planned long ago. And so all through time, the creation of man, the creation of the world, all these things, now this time had finally come. And Jesus is there in the garden, and it is time to finally go through with this plan. And he's struggling. He's struggling. He's sweating great drops of blood. He's sorrowful to the point of death. So what is in some of the cup? Not all of this is meant, you know, necessarily for Jesus. I just want to read some verses that deal with the cup, deal with God's wrath of the cup. In Isaiah 51:17, it says, wake up of Jerusalem. You have drunk the cup of the Lord's fury. You have drunk the cup of terror, tipping out its last drops. The words fury and terror of that cup come to mind there for me. Also in Isaiah 13:13, it says, therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord's host in the day of his fierce anger. In Ezekiel 23:33, you shall be filled with drunkenness and sorrow. A cup of horror and desolation is the cup of your sister Samaria. Just some of these words that describe what the cup are in. In Psalm 78:49, he let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels. In Revelation 14:10, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. These are things that are in that cup of wrath. This is the cup that Jesus looked at in the garden. This is the reason for his distress, his anguish, and the horror that was before him. This is the cup that Jesus willingly drank for us. Scripture is very clear that God is very angry at sin, and he is very, and his wrath is very, very real. And Jesus, knowing this, willingly took that cup and drank it. And he drank every last drop of it. Jesus knew that this day would come. It was prophesied to Mary that a sword would pierce her heart in Luke 2. It was prophesied in the Old Testament of this moment in Isaiah 53. Before Jesus left the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, he knew this day would come. And still he came. He was born of a virgin to live a perfect, sinless life, to be betrayed, to be deserted by those closest to him in that hour, to be hung on a cross to die. He did that willingly, and he did that for us. That is a tremendous love. I mean, it's just hard to fathom that. Some of the words of the songs that we sang here, you know, how deep the Father's love for us, that he would give his Son, first of all, and then that Jesus would go through with that. I mean, when you just think about that, here is the God that created all things. This is a God that has power we can't even fathom. You know, he could do that and every one of us are gone before him, or he can do that and something is created. I mean, look at the stuff around us that he has made. Look at the amazingness of our God. And yet, he humbled himself to die on a cross for us. This is, we can't really comprehend it, but it's just tremendous love that he has for his children. And we are his children, and this is, what a great blessing that he has done that. And as we sing these songs, and as I've just kind of gone through a lot of these verses, it just brings it home. It's something that I think I should be doing daily. I mean, not just daily reading my scripture, but daily reading some of these words to understand that tremendous love that he has for us. What a great God that we have. I should probably get back to where I'm here. Let's see. So this is the wrath that God, that we deserve but no longer have to face because of his love for the Father and because of his love for us. He paid that price, and he satisfied God's demands for justice, for our sin and our debt that we could not pay. This is a great, great love for us. In 1 John 4:10 it says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, to be that substitute, to satisfy God's wrath." In Romans 5, it says, "But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Let me finish with, I'm going to read an entire chapter, Revelation 5. "Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within, and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And then one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." This is that great Lamb, the great Christ, who went to that cross for us, died for us for our sins. We are truly a blessed people to have Jesus do that.